As most of you who are members of Concordia know, during this Lenten season, we've been looking at the Passover meal and how elements of that meal are pictures of Jesus and what he would do to save us from sin, death, and hell. In fact, on the front of your bulletin cover, it says, "Behold the Lamb." And of course, the Lamb is a reference to the Passover Lamb, which is a picture of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. With that understood, tonight I want to talk about Holy Week and how it finally culminates in Jesus' death on that day we call Good Friday. But before we get to Good Friday, we need to go back to what we call Palm Sunday. Now, John's Gospel indicates that Palm Sunday occurred 5 days before the Passover. And if you look at the Jewish calendar, Passover always occurred on the 15th of their month, known as Nisan. So if Passover was on the 15th of Nisan, that means what we call Palm Sunday would have occurred on the 10th of Nisan. Now, that date, the 10th of Nisan, was very, very significant for the Jews, and let me tell you why. You see, if you go back in history, when God delivered his people from slavery in Egypt, it was on the 10th of Nisan that God commanded his people to begin to gather the lambs, specifically male lambs without defect. So on the 10th of Nisan, they were to begin to gather together the lambs. And of course, those lambs would be slaughtered several days later on the 15th of Nisan when the actual Passover took place. So, the lambs were gathered together on the 10th of Nisan. Jesus also entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which was the 10th of Nisan. Is that just a coincidence? Hardly. You see, as Jesus entered Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, the same time that the lambs were being gathered for slaughter, he was entering Jerusalem as the Lamb of God who would eventually be slaughtered for the sins of the people. Now, with that understood, you might wonder what happened during the rest of Holy Week. Jesus entered on the 10th of Nisan. We know he would die on the 15th of Nisan. But what happened Monday through Thursday of that week? Well, during those times, the Jewish priests were examining all the lambs that had been gathered. They were examining them very carefully to make sure that they were spotless and without defect. This process took all of those 4 days. Now you might wonder why they were so meticulous in examining the lambs. Well, remember, if you read the Old Testament, God was very clear that the only lambs that could be slaughtered, the only lambs whose blood could be used to smear on the doorframes of the homes, the only lambs were the ones that were spotless and without defect. And so Monday through Thursday, those lambs were being examined, and only those that were spotless and without defect were chosen for the sacrifice. Now, isn't that interesting? What was Jesus doing Monday through Thursday of Holy Week? Well, he went to the temple, and he was preaching, and he was teaching. But what were the Jewish religious leaders doing? They were examining Jesus. If you read that part of the gospel reading, Jesus during Holy Week is constantly being bombarded with questions from these Jewish religious leaders. They were examining him. They were trying to find some defect, some flaw, some error, but they couldn't. After 4 days of examining his teaching and his preaching and his life, that could find nothing wrong with him. There was no error in what he taught. There was no crime or sin in the way he lived. He was spotless and without defect. Now, on Thursday evening of that same week, the Passover began. Wait a minute, some of you might say. Didn't I say that Passover would begin on the 15th of Nisan, which would be Friday? Yes. But here's where you need to understand a Jewish time. You see, for the Jews, the next day began at 6 p.m. in the evening. So what we would call Maundy, Thursday, actually ended up being Friday according to Jewish time. Because after 6 p.m. on Thursday, it was already the 15th of Nisan. For them, Friday. So during the Passover, which was taking place Thursday evening, our time, but for them, Friday, the 15th of Nisan, during this Passover, they were doing what most Jews usually did during the Passover, which they had celebrated for centuries. But then suddenly Jesus did and said something that had never been done or said at any Passover before. Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." Now I'm sure that took the disciples off guard, because at that point during the Passover, what they were used to doing was eating the meat of the slaughtered Passover lambs. But instead of eating the meat of the slaughtered Passover lambs, Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." Once again, Jesus was showing that he is the true Passover lamb who is sacrificed for us. All the other lambs that had been sacrificed over the centuries, they were just pictures, pointing ahead to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now our gospel reading from Matthew gives us the details of Jesus' horrible suffering and death. While Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, what did Jesus mean by those words? Was he having a pity party? No. Was he doubting whether his Father would be there for him? No. What you need to understand is that Jesus was actually quoting Scripture. He was quoting the first verse of Psalm 22. I encourage you tonight after the service to open your Bibles at home, read Psalm 22, and the very first words of that psalm will be, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But if you read the rest of the psalm, and if you happen to have a study Bible and read the commentary on it, you will find out that Psalm 22 is a prophecy of the suffering, death, and resurrection of the promised Savior. And so when Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" he was actually giving a sermon. He was hoping that the people watching would make the connection and remember Psalm 22 and then realize that Jesus was fulfilling Psalm 22 right in front of them. By speaking those words, Jesus was trying to teach us that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. My friends, as I've said many times, no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He went there willingly to suffer and die in our place of damnation. He took our sin upon himself that we might be rescued from the death and damnation we deserve. My friends, Jesus fulfilled the Passover prophecy. In fact, the Apostle Peter refers to this in our second reading. Listen. You know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That's Peter's way of saying Jesus is the Passover lamb. There's something else very interesting you need to understand. At the very end of Good Friday, and remember, Friday for them would end at 6 p.m. According to Jewish time, 6 p.m. Friday was the end of Friday. After that, it was Saturday, the Sabbath. Now, Jews had a law. They said that you couldn't do any kind of work on the Sabbath. And part of that tradition also included any type of execution. In other words, the Jews forbade anybody hanging on a cross still alive during the Sabbath. They forbade it. And so out of respect for the Jews, the Romans honored that tradition. Therefore, as it was getting close to 6 p.m. and the Sabbath was soon to arrive, the Romans did what they needed to do to make sure that all three men being crucified would be dead. You see, you need to understand something about crucifixion. Crucifixion was the most horrible way of dying ever invented. It was meant to increase suffering as much as possible. Historical accounts tell us that in some cases, people were on the cross 2 and 3 days before they would die. You see, the way crucifixion was designed is that when you were hanging by your arms, you would slowly begin to suffocate. But with your legs fastened to a podium, you would be able to push yourself up and get a breath. And this process would continue over a matter of days, just prolonging the suffering and the death. But if you wanted somebody to die quickly on the cross, you would break their legs. Then they would not be able to push themselves up to get a breath, and they would die quickly of suffocation. So if you read your Bibles, you will find out that on Friday, as the Sabbath was approaching, 6 p.m., the Romans go up to the two men that were crucified with Jesus, and they break their legs, because they need to be dead before the Sabbath. Then they walked up to Jesus. But the Bible specifically says that they did not break Jesus' legs because he had already died. Now you might wonder why the Bible even bothers to mention that detail. Why mention that Jesus' bones were not broken? Well, once again, this is a fulfillment of the Passover prophecy. If you read the book of Exodus, you will find out that when God told his people to slaughter the Passover lambs and then eat them during the meal, he very specifically told them, but do not break any of their bones. Not one. Listen to what the Apostle John says about this incident with Jesus. Listen. When the soldiers came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. These things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. So once again, Jesus is the Passover lamb. He fulfilled the Passover for you. In fact, almost 800 years before Jesus' death, the prophet Isaiah was inspired to write about the suffering and death of the Passover lamb. Listen again to these words. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned His own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. Jesus is the Passover Lamb. In fact, when Isaiah says that the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all, that's also an allusion to the Passover. You see, when the Passover lambs were being prepared for sacrifice, the priests would put their hands on the lambs and symbolically show that the sins of the people were being transferred to the lambs. Isaiah says that the Father laid on Him the iniquity of us all. When Jesus went to the cross, the Father placed on Him our sin. He transferred our sin to Him. And Jesus suffered and died in our place of damnation. My friends, the Father loved you so much that He laid His own hands on His one and only Son and damned Him for you. That's how much the Father loves you. How do we respond to that? What words can we possibly use to thank God for that kind of loving sacrifice? In closing, I'd like to share with you the third stanza of the hymn we sang earlier, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. This stanza should actually be our prayer to God in response to what Jesus did for us. So as I read these words, in your heart and mind, pray them to God. What language shall I borrow to thank Thee, dearest friend, for this Thy dying sorrow, Thy pity without end? O, make me Thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for Thee. Amen. Now may the peace